stand by.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
The nappy-headed hoe.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Ennis.
The nappy-headed hoe, as he would say. Doesn't he have a southern accent?
Does he have any blood in him? Did you hear John Stewart ask that question? Does man have any blood?
Yeah, he really kind of looks weird, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. You know how many people are happy about the Don Imus scandal this week?
How many?
Oh, everybody in the Bush administration, because it's finally off of them, the criticism. Antonio Gonzalez is
one. They finally have a week without pointed
without
at them. That's
Iraq.
True. Yeah.
It's not been front page.
Yeah, that's true.
And old Paul Wolfowitz, he's
Paul
really happy
Wolfowitz
too.
Got oh a really good God. Week to apologize for his bad things.
Oh, and Jesus, I'll tell you, it's been something else. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you, I think there's got to be, if you're indicted of something bad or you're accused of something bad or you've been proven that you've done something bad, somehow you got to leak a media story about celebrities or, you know, some sort of scandal that the news networks will just totally focus on.
Right.
Because everything else, real news is too complicated.
That's right. That's right. Or what about, you know, Karl Rove in the White House losing 2 million emails? How exactly does that happen, Mr. Computer? Explain how that happens in this day and age. Yes, we've lost not one, not two, but millions of emails. Lost them.
Well, you know, it's amazing what you can do when you want to. Anyway, you're listening to show number 52 of This and That podcast. 52, a number that reminds me of a lot of stuff. Did
not
I say that last week?
Player. Not the football player guy.
No, another football player guy. No, actually, I don't know. Dick, I was just saying that because I knew I said
Dick
that last
Buttress,
week.
Right?
Buttress.
Did I do it
wrong again?
Buttress. I remembered
and
he's,
it. He was last week's number.
That's right. He was last week's number.
I don't know if I know a famous 52. Do you?
No. No.
52 does represent, for those who don't know, the correct size of a playing deck of cards.
That's right. There you go.
So there you go. Little things you pick up from listening to This and That podcast with Jeff and Gretchen.
And you're wondering, why is this worth your time?
We like to educate our users.
Well.
Our users. Our listeners. All right. Well, hey, did you see what 7-Eleven is up to?
No.
Okay, well, they're up to selling some stuff. That's what they do.
Yes, they
Gretchen.
Do. Yes.
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Well, I was just at the Mavs game, and they were selling stuff. They give away things.
Okay, they were selling stuff.
They were.
Excellent. No, but they're really kind of got a cool promotion going on. Well, this is not yet, the deal has not yet been inked. But they're looking to, along with the Simpson movie that's coming out this summertime, they're looking to take 11 of their stores and completely Simpsonize them to make it look like Quickie Mart. So not only will the outside, exterior, and stuff be all, you know, logoed up to look like Quickie Mart, but they're going to be selling special products like Krusty O cereal, Buzz Cola, and iced squishies. So the cup will say squishy, but of course the contents will be Slurpees. And they'll also picture lots of Simpson characters promoting 7-Eleven fresh foods, such as placing the face of Homer in his classic sandwich, quip on sandwich wrappers. You know, I'm just, what is the beer? Duff beer. I'm surprised they're not selling Duff beer. That would be very cool.
Maybe that's in the second wave for the rollout.
Yeah. I mean, only 11 stores nationwide. That's the wacky part. That's hardly a promotion, really. I mean, it's such a fun idea. I think personally, everybody would go to 7-Eleven just to see it.
Just to see it, right.
Right?
It's pretty clever. Did they say where? What regions?
No, they haven't. And like I said, the deal isn't even inked. I mean, they have not said the regions yet.
That's pretty amazing. Have you ever been in a 7-Eleven in any other country? Because they're pretty wild.
Yeah, I have been.
I walked in one in Taiwan, and there are these quail eggs in the steamer giving off this disgusting odor. And that's like the big delicacy, and it's like the number one selling item in Taiwan at the 7-Eleven is the quail egg.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they expensive?
I don't know.
Because normally you don't go to 7-Eleven for gourmet items.
No. It was like their version of a hard-boiled egg.
Oh, okay.
But they were quail, and they were in the steamer, and they were totally exposed to the elements. I mean, anybody could reach in and touch them.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of odd.
Speaking of eggs, I should just make this mention real fast. I went to this free pairing of wine and wine tasting and hors d'oeuvres by a famous chef around town. They do this every Saturday. And yesterday was Hector's on Henderson's, which is a restaurant I had never been to, but I'm very encouraged to go. One of the appetizers they were having was lobster. No, wait a minute. It was deviled eggs filled with lobster and caviar. Now, I know you're not a meat eater, but was it fantastic.
Was it? Sounds a little decadent.
Unbelievably good.
Good for the cholesterol levels.
I know. And she just kept making them and making them all for free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It was good. Are the 7-Eleven going to have those, too?
Not at the Quickie Mart version.
Not at the Quickie Mart. That's really very clever.
Yeah, I think so. I find the fact that they're pre-announcing it without the deal being sort of done interesting. And the fact that they're only going to roll it out to 11 stores, I guess it probably involves a lot of money to totally revamp it the way they want. I hope Dallas will get one.
And maybe they don't think that everybody understands the connection.
Right.
But there are so many Simpsons fans. You'd think that a little more than 11.
I wonder if they'll make the guys talk with the accent. Welcome to Quickie Mart.
When they get Indians behind the counter. Oh, jeez.
When I first arrived, you were all such jerks. But now I've come to love your quirks. Maggie with her eyes so bright. Marge with hair by Frank Lloyd Wright. Lisa can philosophize. Bart's adept at spinning lies. Homer's a delightful fella. Sorry about the salmonella.
That's okay.
Who needs the Quickie Mart? Now here's the tricky part. Oh, won't you rhyme with me? It's the Quickie Mart.
Their floors are sticky mart.
They made that sticky mart. Let's hurl a bricky mart.
The Quickie Mart is real dope.
Who needs the Quickie Mart?
Not me.
Forget the Quickie Mart. Goodbye to Quickie Mart. Who needs the Quickie Mart?
Not me.
Speaking of, on another light note,
Keeping it light.
Keeping it light. So from year 2000 to 2005, there was a 44% increase in cosmetic surgery procedures for men.
Really?
Yes.
What do we typically have done?
Okay, men. If you want to know what your fellow men are doing.
I do.
Okay, here's what they're doing. Minimally invasive cosmetic. Botox, microdermabrasion, and laser hair removal are the top three among men last year. And
laser hair removal, oh, I guess along the back. Stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. You know what? If I had hair there, I would do that.
And men only want to know, when am I going to be ready to go back to the office? So that is the overwhelming question. There was a 233% increase in Botox treatments last year. So,
Well, Botox is so outpatient. It's so easy that I could see that.
Right.
Is it? It's still pretty expensive, though, isn't it?
A couple hundred, maybe.
Oh, that's all? I should get some around the eyes, you know? But you need them to get it. What's the downside of Botox? Is there a negative?
I think it is poison that they are injecting into your body.
Forget about that.
Minor detail. I think some people can have reactions to it.
Okay.
And you have to keep going back. I mean, right. It's not like you do it a little bit.
Right. How often do you have to go back?
Why are you asking me like I'm an expert? I have not
Tell
had
us
Botox.
About you. I mean, look at that face. Come on. That's Botox face.
I have not had Botox. Sorry. But instead,
Gretchen's middle name is Botox.
Yeah, that's right. BX for short. So
that's right.
Besides these in-and-out procedures, the other ones that men are doing are nose reshaping, hair transplants, and liposuction. Men's liposuction involves excess fat removal around the lower back, upper flanks, and abdomen, spare tire, and also under the chin. That's the next big place that it's going.
Really?
So in the future, doctors are expecting tummy tucks and body lifts as the next big... Body lifts after gastric bypass.
So, do men get gastric bypasses very often?
I don't.
It's mostly associated with females.
Yeah, but did you just hear? I saw the number that just came out. 66% of Americans are considered obese, not just overweight.
Yeah,
obese.
I think I've
that
seen
is
similar.
Unbelievable how high that number is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is really unbelievable.
And in the summer when they go to Europe, all of them insist on wearing spandex pants.
Yes. Well, you know, I was looking at the best, the top cities to live in America this morning.
Yes.
And they actually had the BMI index.
Oh, no.
On the cities.
I think Philadelphia is really high, right?
I didn't look. But the average of every place in America was 27. And, of course, above 25 is considered big. I think 30 is obese, though.
Oh.
Okay. So, well, okay, maybe it's not so bad. But nevertheless, over 25 is not thin. I mean, over 25 is not acceptable.
It's probably overweight.
It's overweight.
Yeah.
That's bad.
We'll have to explore that in more detail.
Well, can I talk about turtles?
Oh, I love turtles. Yes.
They do taste good, don't they?
No, I've had turtles before. I mean, as a pet, you know? I have.
You've eaten your pets? I'm confused.
I have not eaten my pets.
How could you do that?
Oh, stop.
They're a kind, you seem like a kind person. Well, the state of Texas and turtles are having problems.
Uh-oh.
There are tens of thousands of Texas turtles are being hauled out of lake streams and stock ponds every year, and they're being sold to China for dinner tables.
And
Asian food markets in big United States cities, because they're a delicacy in a lot of Asian countries. Biologists, conservationists, and the Texas Park of Wildlife Department agree that the state must step in soon with tough regulation. Now, it's interesting. There actually are regulations within the state of Texas that cover five or six different turtle species. But there's a bunch of species that are also quite tasty that aren't covered.
So they're being sold legally to China. They're not being, like, abducted and smuggled.
No, it's legal. And in fact, the business model is kind of interesting. One of the main guys, he said, much of the concern is due to this one guy named Bob Popplewell. He lives in Palo Pinto County. And he has 400-plus people that are essentially on like, a loose franchise, if you will, with him. That they pay into him like $300 every year or every month, I'm not sure. And then they basically have the ability to sell turtles to him. So they collect turtles and turtles and sell to him for shipment. So they're going around just going hell-bent. And this is what he is saying here. He owns the Brazos River Rattlesnake Ranch in Santo, contends he's not only ridding ranchers and farmers of unwanted vermin, he's also engaging in rural economic development and helping reduce the trade imbalance with China. See, he's a good American.
Oh, my goodness.
Can we say rationalization?
Jeez.
I mean, I'm not going against this turtle trade, but I'm just, I'm just saying he's kind of rationalizing his business. Okay, this is his quote. This is a vast renewable resource. If you line up 1,000 farm boys, 999 will tell you they have shot turtles. And the other one is probably lying.
Oh, gosh.
That's what you do in Texas.
Oh.
You shoot turtles.
Oh, that's painful.
That's kind of painful, isn't it?
Yeah, considering I've had them as pets and they're so harmless.
Yeah.
Who would want to shoot one?
And he goes on to say, but if there's a place on the globe that will use these turtles, why shouldn't we turn that vast renewable resource into a valuable resource instead of wasting it?
Jeez. And China and its animal rights are notoriously awful.
Really?
Yeah. So... good for him for helping solve our trade imbalance.
Yeah. You know, George Bush would probably pin a medal on him.
I know, really.
Yeah. Let's see here. There was, between 2002 and 2005, 256,000 wild-caught adult turtles flowing out of DFW Airport. That's a lot of turtles.
That's a lot of turtles.
So they've got a big appetite in China for turtle meat, a delicacy. And actually, there is no wild population of turkeys in China anymore. And in fact, they've also decimated Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, and other Southeast Asian nations. And they're starting to export them from America because there's no turtles left there. And it's becoming even more of a problem, of course, because China's getting more rich.
That's right.
People are being able to afford more of these delicacies. And when more people get rich, more people want them. So there's bigger demand.
So then he's going to decimate the Texas wildlife system to get these turtles.
Right. That's right. There's already a number of states that are protecting these turtle species for the exact same reason. Texas is undergoing state legislation right now.
To look into it,
yeah.
Oh, I bet he's going to boycott that.
Yeah.
Try hard.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, this is
his
livelihood.
Throw his turtle money at it.
All that turtle revenue. Well, the other interesting thing is, he said, biologists say that turtles are not exactly rabbits. You know how we say, doing it like rabbits.
That's right. Takes
turtles don't
time.
Do that.
That's right. They're
said,
very slow.
Very few of the young survive.
That's right.
And those that do, they actually mature sexually pretty late. And the only reason that they propagate as a species fairly well is because they just all have long lives.
Right.
But they don't get it on a lot.
So how many years do you think he's got? Probably like three, and then he's out of business.
I would think so. I mean, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's it, the export of these things is probably okay. I mean, and we could argue about the morals mm-hmm. of eating turtles, but, you know, we do live in a world where we do eat animals. So,
no, yeah, no, I'm not saying
but you have to replenish, and you got to make sure that you're somehow at an equilibrium. So,
you know, most of your seafood nowadays is raised on farms, you know? And,
yeah.
And I read The Walmart Effect, which is a really fascinating book about the pros and cons of Walmart, but it's mainly about the cons of Walmart. And Walmart offers, I don't know if last time you were in there, but they offer salmon for some amazing amount per pound. Like I think the book was quoting at the time that the author wrote it, $4.64 a pound.
Wow.
But the reason they could offer it as the lowest price in the country was because of these salmon farms outside of Peru.
Yeah.
But what they were doing while they were put all these state-of-the-art facilities in to harvest the salmon and debone them and fly them in on ice is that they were killing the oceans where the salmon hatcheries were because there was too much waste from the salmon. So unless Walmart does something about helping the same thing that's happening here.
Right.
I mean, they've decimated the whole ecosystem, but that's what's happening in Peru with these salmon fisheries.
Right.
They're keeping salmon in Walmart, yet they're decimating the coast of Peru, and ultimately they're going to put that business put all those people who are now dependent on them out of business.
And there'll be no more turtle luxury for our future generations.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they're sweet little creatures. It makes me sad. All right, so here's something else
I didn't realize that the meat was sweet. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, you know much more about eating turtles than I do.
I didn't say I knew anything about the meat, but there is turtle soup. I remember
she came into my house gnawing on a turtle. I mean, that's why I'm reading the story.
Turtle jerky? Anyone?
She was eating it like an ice cream cone.
Gross.
Sucking out the middle of the shell. Ooh.
Ooh, you're bad.
Gross.
Whatever makes you happy, whatever you want. You're so motherfucking special. Waitress, can I get the special? But I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the heck am I doing here?
We'll move on to something lighter. Okay, this week.
On a lighter
past
note.
Couple weeks, USA Today has taken the top 25 memorable quotes that have happened in the past 25 years. And then they've also looked at the top 25 books. So some of these quotes were pretty memorable, Jeff. So
cool.
I'll tell them to you and you tell me if you remember who said them.
All right, that sounds fun.
Or when. Okay, so the number 25 quote, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, that was Jerry Seinfeld.
That's right.
About when they talked about gay people.
That's right. Yep, a gay character was discussed on the show, right. Where's the beef?
Oh, that was the old lady in a Wendy's
commercial, right, 1984.
Yeah.
Yep. People, I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we all get along?
I don't think I know that one.
Oh, you would if you lived in Los Angeles in 1992, the Los Angeles riots. Can't we all just get along? Rodney King.
Who said
King.
That?
Rodney King.
Oh, really?
Remember?
No. I mean, I remember the riots, but I don't remember that he said that.
Yeah, that was okay. That was his big quote.
Wow.
One more thing. You would know this. One more thing.
One more thing. I don't know.
Apple CEO Steve Jobs in 1999, he uses that phrase when he's unveiling products at the iMac, such as the iMac and iPod
right?
at the computer show. One more thing. And then he launches
the big thing.
The big thing.
Okay.
Yeah, the big thing.
Ha ha.
Ha ha. You got to fight for the right to party.
Oh, the Beastie Boys.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It takes a village to raise a child.
That's Hillary.
Yep, that was Hillary.
Yeah.
Just say no.
That was one of the president's wives. Don't tell me who. I think that may have been Just Say No.
1980s.
I guess it was Reagan's wife.
Nancy Reagan.
Okay.
That was her anti-drug campaign. Remember the bumper stickers? Just Say No.
Yeah.
I want to focus on my salad. This is a good one.
I don't know.
Martha Stewart in 2002, when questioned about the probe into her stock dealings.
Really?
I want to focus on my salad.
That's funny.
My belief is we will, in fact, be greeted as liberators.
That'll be George W. Bush.
Or Vice President Cheney.
Or Cheney, okay.
saying the party line.
Yep.
In 2003 on Meet the Press.
Yep.
That was supposed to be Iraq's reaction to U.S. troops. Yes, sir. Obviously a major malfunction. Very sad event.
Challenger?
Yep, 1986.
Wow.
Read my lips, no new taxes.
That was George Bush, the father.
Father, uh-huh. Accepting the GOP nomination in New Orleans. A tax hike later in his presidency was one of the reasons he lost the election.
Yep.
So don't read your lips anymore, anybody. It's a really bad idea.
Yeah.
Really bad idea.
Doesn't play well.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, we're getting into the most memorable now.
Yeah.
You've Got Mail.
That's AOL started that, that one,
AOL,
right?
AOL, and they still use it, and that started in 1989. Yeah. And that voice is one of the husbands of an AOL customer service rep.
Wow. Is AOL still around?
Oh, some of us still believe it is. Some of us still believe it is. Okay, in the top three, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Number three,
that's,
most memorable quotes.
That's O.J.'s lawyer, right?
Yes, the late Johnny Cochran.
Yeah, Johnny Cochran, right.
Defense attorney, which pretty much is what got him off.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers that. And number two, most memorable quote in the last 25 years, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Reagan in 1987 to Soviet leader Gorbachev. And the number one most memorable quote, I don't know if I'd agree with this, but let's roll.
Oh, the guys in the Flight 91.
Yep, Todd Beamer. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if that's number
United
one.
Flight 93.
I think they were just being kind.
Yeah.
That's not really.
Flight number 93.
Yeah, 93. See, I don't even remember the flight. Was it 91? 93, yeah. Probably right. United 93, okay.
No, yeah, flight number 93.
Or was it 95?
No, it's the one that crashed in Pennsylvania.
I know.
No, I know. I know you know.
Okay, well, that was light. I'm going to even make it lighter.
Okay.
I'm going to not get down to lightness.
Well, after the sad turtle story.
So, have you been? This is around your neck of the woods. Have you been to the new Sprinkles?
No.
You haven't been?
No.
Do you know what
Sprinkles?
You don't know what it is.
No.
I'm actually shocked. I really kind of figured I was
Sprinkles.
Yeah, in fact, I was thinking we maybe should take the remotes out there and go get some Sprinkles. Dallas has the fourth location of Sprinkles. There's one in Palm Beach. There's one in L.A. There's one in New York, and we have the fourth. It's in Highland Park. It's in. It's right by in the Preston Northwest Highway area.
Oh, okay.
And they sell nothing but cupcakes.
Oh, the cupcake store. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I didn't realize it was called Sprinkles.
So,
well, I live right by Tarte, too, which is also the other bakery that sells cupcakes.
Oh, okay.
Competition for Tarte. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
these are the $5 cupcakes, right?
About $3.50 each. And we do have a reporter that's working for the show, Susan.
Okay.
And she went there with our old friend Pat yesterday.
Oh, okay. And they're going to report back on the quality of Sprinkles?
Well, she just reported back to me on the phone, and I'm here to relay this here. So
how did Sprinkles do?
Sprinkles
in the reporter's opinion.
And the reporter's opinion was very well. Her favorite flavor was red velvet.
Oh, those are good.
And she said what was really nice about it wasn't too huge. She had two of them, but it wasn't like a real huge cupcake. And the amount of first of all, the frosting was just excellent. You know, none of this fake crappy, you know, stuff that you get at the grocery store. It was real good frosting.
Uh-huh.
But it was appropriately placed on the amount was appropriate to the size of the cupcake.
Wow.
So that's pretty impressive.
Yes.
And she said lines to this place, I guess it's been open for 2 months, but lines are still 45 minutes out the door. It kind of reminds me of a Seinfeld thing.
Really?
You know? I don't know if they have a cupcake Nazi there or not. If you have to order right, or they get all PO'd. I don't know. But people are taking pictures.
Oh, my goodness.
Of themselves ordering Sprinkles cupcakes.
Oh, my Lord. How many varieties of cupcakes do they offer?
Well, I'm glad you asked. They have, I don't know what the total number is. I think it's about 25 on the website. But what they do is they have five flavors that they have all the time.
Okay.
And then they have five daily, depending on the day of the week, five different daily flavors.
Uh-huh.
Some of the more interesting flavors I thought were vanilla. I guess that's not interesting. That's only interesting to me because I love vanilla. That's probably the opposite of interesting.
Yeah, I was gonna say, geez, Joe. Let's stretch it a little bit.
they have this weird far out flavor called vanilla, man. It is a freak out. I'm flipping out, man. Vanilla.
Jalapeno pepper, maybe, but no vanilla.
In Texas, that might do really well. Oh, turtle. Well, that would be good.
Stop it.
Turtle cupcakes.
Right down the road.
Yeah,
they're Texas native. The Texas native cupcake.
Yum.
Oh, geez, with a blue bonnet on it or something.
Oh, that would be nice. Yeah, you could call it the Texan. We got lemon, carrot, coconut, orange, banana, ginger, lemon, pumpkin, peanut butter chocolate, peanut butter chip, chai latte, and a few others. So, anyways, but people are taking their pictures. It's a scene.
All right. So if you want to be seen, go to Sprinkles.
Yeah, really. If you do want to be seen and see,
yes, check it out.
Go to Sprinkles. But only question I've got is how sustainable. I can understand, like, I want to go, you know?
Right,
of course, we all want to try,
right,
want to kind of be part of the scene, stand in line, wait for our cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Gretchen.
You've lived without.
They're selling cupcakes.
No, you've lived without it. But okay, now think back to the beginning of Starbucks, though. Everybody sold coffee, right?
Yep.
Everybody sold coffee.
Yep.
And Starbucks made it a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So maybe Sprinkles will make it a lifestyle. Hey, meet me at Sprinkles. Hey, want to hang out at Sprinkles?
I'm skeptical, but you never know. It sounds a little gay. Not that there's nothing wrong with that. Anything wrong with that.
I think it could be maybe a teen girl hangout. You know,
yeah. Right.
Especially
exactly.
If they had a low-fat model. But
yeah.
Oh, God.
It's kind of interesting.
Well, also keeping it light, let's think about the best books in the last 25 years, because they also did the same books we talked about, memorable quotes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so let's see. 25 years ago.
25 years ago would have been.
So we would have been, you know, like,
be like
say 20
1980,
years old.
1982.
Yeah,
so that's fairly recent.
But you can certainly remember what you've read that's really touched you in the last 25 years, right?
Yes.
So they got together with their book editors and critics, and they chose 25 titles that made an impact on readers and the publishing industry. So they asked readers to actually send in their submissions. But, again, we'll start at the bottom. So some of these were, I thought, pretty interesting. Final Exit, which was from 1999, that was the assisted suicide. Remember with
who wrote that one?
Derek Humphrey. Mm. It was the assisted suicide was controversial in 1990s.
Sure.
And the Michigan pathologist, you know, Jack Kevorkian, and his suicide machine, and this how-to by an English journalist who helped cancer-stricken first wife kill herself.
Oh, wow.
Final Exit. I do remember when that came out.
I don't remember. I don't recall it. I think I was drinking a lot in the early 80s.
Okay. Well, about the same time, another one called Backlash came out, and that was from Susan Faludi, and she's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, and it was about the anti-feminist propaganda and the backlash in the Hollywood movie industry against successful women.
Really?
Yeah. That was a pretty controversial one, too. But look how easily our minds fade.
Boy, I don't remember
it
at all.
Okay, some of the other ones that were just made into a movie a couple years ago, Cold Mountain, Charles Frazier.
I loved the book. I enjoyed the movie, but I loved the book more.
The book was amazing. And it was one of those rare ones that became a critical and commercial hit by an unknown author, especially about a historical novel. It's very difficult. Waiting to Exhale, Terry McMillan.
Okay.
That was groundbreaking for about black women. Iacocca, Lee Iacocca's biography.
Sure, I remember that one. Yep.
Brief History of Time, Stephen Hawking, 1988. I remember I tried to read the first couple chapters.
Is it hard to read? I've never tried.
Way over my head, boy.
Really?
Yes.
Now, I'm just curious, because is the Hot Zone on here at all?
No.
Okay, I was just curious. That was the one about the monkey disease in Africa.
Oh, well, there's something else similar to that.
Okay.
What to Expect When You're Expecting. That's the really big one when every mother-to-be reads that book.
Oh, I read that religiously.
Oh, okay. The Joy Luck Club from 1989.
I actually read that one.
That was good. Yeah. Also, and think about how many of these are made into movies, too.
Right.
Bonfire of the Vanities, Tom Wolfe, 1987.
That was probably Wolfe's greatest book.
Amazing book.
I never read that.
Wasn't it like 3.5 inches thick?
Yeah, but I read another one of his 3.5-inch thick books, the one about the real estate guy in Atlanta. I don't think they made a movie out of it, and I can't recall the name of it now, but he's got a certain style. I guess it's arguable between if Bonfire of the Vanities is his best one or the one about the Apollo space program.
Apollo 13?
No, not Apollo 13. You know what I'm talking about, The Right Stuff.
Oh, The Right Stuff.
Yeah.
The Closing of the American Mind, which was about the conservative scholar attacking colleges and liberal professors in 1987. Salman Rushdie's Satanic Verses. Everybody remembers that. He had to go into hiding because of what he wrote. That's number 15. Fast Food Nation, just recently made into a movie about the fast food industry and meatpacking plants.
Yeah, yeah.
Very controversial book. Hard to read. Purpose-Driven Life from Rick Warren. That was
That's really familiar sounding.
Christian devotional guide.
Okay.
And sales lifted in 2005 when that Atlanta woman used it to help persuade the murder suspect to give up. Remember, she was held
hostage.
That's
why I've heard of it.
Yeah. And she read that book to him.
Yep.
Number 12. This one I don't know, but millions and millions of people do. Left Behind. This is the fictional apocalyptic series about the rapture, and it had 15 books altogether.
Wow.
All about Armageddon. Number 11, Bridget Jones's Diary. This one
I'm surprised that made it. It was kind of I enjoyed the book. It was really fun, lightweight book to read.
Right. But it was lightweight, but why it made the list is because it spawned a flood of chick lit novels such as The Nanny Diaries, Devil Wears Prada, all those.
Right.
It became hip and this was the first one in 1998. Next, Tom Brokaw's The Greatest Generation.
Yep.
That is a lovely book. Beloved by Toni Morrison. This has actually been...
I read that book.
This has actually been the New York Times book review actually said this is the best American novel in the past 25 years.
No kidding.
But it didn't finish number one on this poll. And The Band Played On. This is the one about the emergence of AIDS this was written in 1987.
Wow.
So that was what you're talking about, sort of like the monkey book.
That's what
this one was.
Yeah.
Dr. Atkins, Diet Revolution. My God, who was never on the Atkins diet?
Yeah.
And here are the ones that really you all are going to go, oh, of course. Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Remember
that?
Of course.
In 1992.
I never really
did
understand that.
Thank you, John Gray, for explaining why he wants to go in his cave and women don't.
Right. I never really understand why we have a rubber band and, you know, the thing is, news flash to John Gray, we have not yet explored Mars and Venus yet. Duh. I mean, come on. What land is he living in? Men are from Earth and women are from Earth. That should be the name of the book.
Then Chicken Soup for the Soul. Wow.
Oh, how sweet.
If that was going to go in a time capsule. And it spawned 144 other titles
in
the series.
Well, do you know the author to that, Canfield or something?
Yes, Jack Canfield. Uh-huh.
The only reason I know it because he was in that
part
Source.
Of the secret.
He was a secret movie.
Part of the secret, yep.
And it's like, once I learned the secret, I wrote my books.
And I wrote many more, especially the one for Chicken Soup for the NASCAR Fan.
God.
Unbelievable.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Talk about milking it. This guy got lucky. Now he thinks, oh, yeah, listen to me. I know the secret. Sure.
Well, he knows how to end up number 5 on this poll. Number 4 is the only government report ever
nominated.
Let
me just go back to that. Uh-huh. It doesn't say anything about him and his idea. It has everything to do with us. Right?
Comfort food for readers. Short, bright stories about overcoming adversity.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all to do with us.
Yeah.
It tells you about us.
That's right. And number 4, the only government report ever nominated for a National Book Award. It became a number one best-selling seller the day it was issued.
Was that the one about the Lewinsky trial?
Nope.
Well,
the 9/11 Commission.
The 9/11 Commission, okay.
Yep. I did read some of it, and it does read like a fascinating novel.
Really?
It doesn't read like a...
Like a boring
like
government report.
Like a boring government report at all.
Wow.
Number 3, the one that everybody in many, many, many countries have read, The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, my. Yeah.
75 million copies printed worldwide.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Number 2, The Deep End of the Ocean. This is Oprah's first book club choice.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And all 57 selections to date have become instant smash hits as soon as she names them.
Wow.
Number one.
Number one, okay.
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Is that the first one?
That's the first one. Well, yeah, it was the very first one. Yep.
Well, that makes sense. That
it
belongs
there.
It does
make sense because of the mega sales and the magical series and the fact that adults and children and the parties and the hysteria and the series of movies and the merchandise.
Well, you know, there's still, I still kind of watch every now and then, like, to see the top podcasts, right? The top amateur podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, podcasts and blogs. Surprisingly, no.
No.
We are, I think, in the top 20,000, though. So, you know, this podcast used to be like top 30. Now we're buried somewhere in the who knows where we are.
Well, you're not promoting, Jeff.
No, not promoting it. But we're putting together a damn good show. But what was I going to say about that?
Harry Potter. It must be up there, right?
Yeah, it's got to be up there. But I remember when it first came out. Well, what I was saying is that there's still very popular podcasts and blogs that are dedicated to nothing but Harry Potter fans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a huge amount of people are into it. But I still remember the impact on the media when the first book came out.
Mm-hmm. You remember
and
that?
You don't hear it quite as much now, but boy, was it big. It was even bigger than Who's Anna Nicole Smith's
baby's father.
Right. You know, if you could believe that.
I do remember that too, and it actually got kids interested in reading again.
It's actually solely credited
overnight with getting children interested in being. It's okay to be a reader, and it's a cool thing to be. And,
right.
You know, so
it's very hip to read, kids.
Yes, you might be doing it for the rest of your life, so you might want to think about it.
Just take it from Jeff and Gretchen. It's hip to be a reader.
You can have my isolation. Bass, you can have the hate that it brings. Hi-hat, you can have my absence of faith. Piano, you can have my everything. Lounge singer, I want to bug you like an animal. I want to feel you from the inside. I want to fuck you with an animal. My own existence is blood. You get me closer to God.
All right, speaking about being hip, you know who's not hip, at least from the way she looks?
Who?
Jane Austen.
Jane Austen, the author?
Yeah, the author. Did you know that for the latest publishing, the latest book of like a Jane Austen biography, she's going under a severe makeover to have her portrait picture on the name of the book.
Oh, she's going to be cutter?
Yeah.
Sexier?
Helen Traylor, the publisher's managing director, said she was not much of a looker. Very, very plain. Jane Austen wasn't very good looking at all. She's the most inspiring, readable author, but to put her on the cover wouldn't be very inspiring at all. It's just a bit off-putting.
Oh, man.
So they want to sell her this biography. And they're going to basically totally retouch her.
She's going to get some Botox?
She is going to get some Botox. Let's see.
She's going to undergo like the swan, right? She's going to get everything.
Yeah. She's got like a proto-Klee crooked eye style. And she's got a hint of a scowl. And I guess this is the famous portrait of her done by her sister Cassandra. And it said it would not make the image Austen would be advised to use for her Match.com profile. So poor Jane Austen. She's a widely loved reader.
She's going to get redrawn.
And she's going to be totally redrawn. The book that's coming out is called A Memoir of Jane Austen by James Austen Leigh, who is a nephew. And it's going to be reissued to coincide with the release of a biopic called Becoming Jane. So there you go.
We'll have to see what that looks like when it comes out. Let's see what she has. I bet people she has a boob job.
Oh.
She's got some really awesome dress on. She's got a little tattoo. She's got the Botox. She's probably got hair extensions.
She is going to look rad, man.
She's going to look hot.
All of a sudden, the sales of all her books.
She's got her stylist.
The sales of all her books are going to go skyrocket, aren't they? Because she looks hot now.
Yeah, there you go. That's sort of not doing her a disservice if everybody knows what she really did look like, you know?
Well, I don't know if it's doing a disservice or not.
Oh,
I mean,
because you're getting more people to read her and about her life. And
I mean, it's just not right.
It's just
sad
that we have to do that. I know. It's sad
right?
that we
it's
have to
reality.
Make her pretty, to make her appealing.
To make her readable.
Well, that is so wrong.
But she's such a well-loved author. Probably one of the all-time best. I mean, all-time... You know, most popular.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say critically, but maybe even critically. I don't know. I don't keep up with such things. But I know she's very, very popular.
Jeez.
Not hot.
Wonder who they want to cast it playing her in the movie. Scarlett Johansson? No, some vixen.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, why not?
Well, here's something a little.
Are you going to go light or are you going to go heavy?
Oh, I think maybe heavy.
Okay, we're changing the direction of the show, folks. Warning. Beep, beep, beep. We're backing up.
This is really sad. Well, it's not sad, but this will happen in our lifetime, according to a new report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, it's all about North America and what's going to happen to North America.
Oh, gosh. It's Gretchen the Downer. Wah, 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 wah.
Okay, so as you're looking for cities,
what
out
do
here,
I have to look forward to, Gretchen? Well, okay, go ahead, tell me.
Here. Chicago and Los Angeles are going to face increasing heat waves.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
And Chicago wouldn't be badly served by that.
Yeah, really, especially when it's 25.
Yeah.
Minus 25. Severe storm surges could hit New York and Boston, and cities that rely on melting snow for water are going to run into serious shortages. And this is all going to happen in our lifetime, according to this survey, and this was a survey of hundreds of scientists. Now, a lot of people say, oh, they're gloom and doom, and, you know, they're making a mountain out of a molehill. But...
Actually making water out of a glacier.
That's right. That's right. North America is not going to escape the impact of climate change, and the impact will be felt from Florida and Texas to Alaska and Canada, the panel has said. The best way to reduce the effects of global warming, according to the panel, are deep and decisive cuts in greenhouse gas emissions, which, you know, everybody's been saying now for several years. But there's going to be shifts in rainfall patterns, melting glaciers, rising temperatures, increased demand, and reduced supply of water in some areas. And that means there's going to be competition between agriculture, industry, and population to get the water. So in the western United States, even if the temperature goes up a few degrees by 2040, and we'll still be alive,
right?
Portland, Oregon, for example, is going to need, because of its change in climate and the future population growth that's predicted, it's going to need an additional 26 million metric cubes of water, but it's not going to get them. And so it's going to have to look elsewhere. And the same with Southern California. 40% of the water in Southern California is going to be vulnerable by 2020 due to losses of ice caps in the Sierra Nevada and Colorado rivers. And the Great Lakes are also going to be problems. Because and especially for cities like Chicago, because of competing demands of water quality, lake-based transport, and drought mitigation. So it sounds like it's just going to be really not so great coming up here.
We'll still
we
have water. It'll just be more expensive because
yeah,
we'll probably have to desalinize it from the ocean water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a 25% increase in heat waves projected for Chicago later this century, while the number of heat wave days in Los Angeles will increase from 12 a year to between 44 and 100.
Really?
Yeah. And that's just if the Earth goes up, the temperature goes up a couple of degrees. And that's what they foresee in the next, 40 years.
Wow.
And on a related note that is more positive, so taking it up again, there's going to be a series of concerts held on July 7th called Live Earth.
Wow, we can still enjoy it.
While we can enjoy it, they're going to be all around the world in cities like London, Johannesburg, Shanghai, Sydney, Tokyo, and Rio. And headliners include Beastie Boys, Black Eyed Peas, Madonna, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Foo Fighters. In the United States at Giant Stadium, there's going to be Bon Jovi, Dave Matthews, Kanye West, John Mayer, Smashing Pumpkins, and all.
Really? Smashing Pumpkins? They're
Pumpkins
back?
Coming back. It's going to be called Save Ourselves, the Campaign for a Climate in Crisis.
So is the conventional wisdom that the scenario that you painted previously, that's irreversible?
No, we can't do anything
to impact that?
No, that's not what they were saying. They're just saying if we continue on the way we have and we don't
with no political will.
Deep,
oh, we will.
Deep and decisive cuts in greenhouse gases.
No, we won't.
Yeah.
we will. We love our oil. No. Yeah. I mean, We're greedy. We live for today.
I think if it becomes...
Unless we have a big pendulum shift in the way people perceive their...
If it becomes cool and hip to do this.
Yeah.
And the next generation totally embraces it.
Right.
I think it will happen.
Yeah.
You know?
But you're right. It's got to become kind of cool and hip to be sort of a hippie again.
We all have to
again.
Put pressure on politicians because it does require government action.
Right. Because the last 20 or 30 years, it's been really cool and hip to be a greedy SOB.
That's right.
Right.
It has been.
And to be a user of natural resource.
Yeah. And the United States is uses a third of
the bigger car you have, the more cool you are.
That's right.
The bigger
SUV. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yep. That is true.
Well, that's very interesting. So I wonder, though, from a real estate investment standpoint, what city in the future, in your scenario, is better off.
Yeah, it's really not going to we'll be affected by
We'll have decent climate
any of those,
and right? decent water and all that.
Hmm. That's a good question.
See, they're not telling you that because people are investing in it
that's
already.
That's right. People are going to go there. That's right. I'm sure it's not like
Las
Vegas.
Maybe a hellhole now, but you just wait.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G. But I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky ass shit every single day. I got bitches in the living room getting it on, and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morn. So we gonna smoke an ounce to this, G's up, hose down, while you motherfuckers bounce to this. Rolling down the street, smoking indo, sipping on gin and juice.
Lay back!
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Rolling down the street, smoking indo, sipping on gin and juice.
Well, did you see what's new on the Jesus front?
I don't know. Have I? What is new on the Jesus front?
A lot.
And you're keeping up on it, are you?
You know, they just keep discovering.
Are you our religion reporter now?
Yes, I am the Eye on God. So there is a new, new gospel that was just found.
Really?
Yeah, and it's the gospel according to Judas. And essentially, it reveals that that Judas was in fact the favorite discipline. Not this is totally
or perhaps
not
disciple?
Conventional wisdom. The disciple, favorite, I meant no, his favorite disciple.
But he is a discipline too. Well, he's gotten such a bad rap. This is really
right.
interesting.
He's the only one Jesus trusted to carry out his final command to hand him over to the Romans. That's why he handed him over to the Romans. Rumors about the gospel, this is very interesting. Rumors about this gospel have circulated for centuries that it's been out there. Early church fathers called it, quote, a very dangerous, blasphemous, horrendous gospel. Now, you know, I don't really understand why there's this faction of Christians, or really not just Christians, anybody who's religious and has their little word that they believe in, that they don't really revel at new information. Whether Judas was...
Right.
Whatever his personality was and whatever he did to Jesus really has nothing to do with Jesus' message. You know, it's like, what's the matter with new information?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I digress.
So it sounds like you're saying this was edited out.
I don't know. Well, I guess so. I think it's more of a discovery than anything else, but because they kind of concealed it for a while.
Hmm.
So, sounds very, what was the book you just mentioned?
Da Vinci Code.
It sounds very Da Vinci Code-ish.
Right.
So let me continue
Opus
this.
Day. Yeah. It's all about Opus Dei.
I know. Early church fathers called it a very dangerous, blasphemous, horrendous gospel, according to historian Elaine Pagels. We now know that the manuscript was passed along the shadowy world of antiquities dealers. At one point, sitting in a safe deposit box in a small town in New York for 17 years. I mean, it's just weird. Pagels herself was once asked by a dealer in Cleveland to examine it, but he only showed her the last few pages, which revealed little more than the title page. She assumed there was nothing of significance.
Hmm.
Well, finally, the manuscript was acquired by the National Geographic Society, which hired Pagels as a consultant to study it. And anyway, so they've gone through and...
So National Geographic has bought this document, which has been authenticated to be
yes.
from the time of Jesus?
Yes. Well, no, it's not from the time of Jesus. It's a gospel. Now, here's the interesting thing I learned.
But the gospels were written pretty much right after he died.
No, they weren't all. They weren't all. Well, I think some of them
some
were
of
and
them
some
were.
Of them weren't.
Yeah, okay.
But listen to this. This is something, a little bit of Bible history that I didn't know. Maybe I'm because I'm an idiot. But But it was this article is kind of an interview with this historian, and they said, so it's let's see, when was the Gospel of Judas created? And as far as we can tell, probably at the end of the first or second
century. Right.
Okay. So, and so then the interviewer asked, so it's clearly not written by Judas himself or even dictated by Judas.
Right.
And the answer was, yeah, that's right. In fact, most New Testament scholars say the Gospels of the New Testament, all of them attributed to disciples or followers of disciples, were probably not written by those people whose names are on the Gospels. So this is the interesting part,
yeah,
Gretchen.
It is interesting.
Because they say...
You assume that they are if they've got the name on it.
Well, but here's in his interpretation. You can almost see how this works. If you say the Gospel according to Matthew, you might not be pretending to be Matthew if you wrote it. You might just be saying that, hey, this is the Gospel the way Matthew thought it, and he was my teacher.
Right.
Or, he was the guy that taught my lineage of things.
Right.
So this is the Gospel according to Matthew. Yeah, he's not in my lifetime. or maybe he is my direct teacher or whatever.
Right.
So it actually kind of makes sense.
I'm thinking of some of the letters, though, like Corinthians. That was a letter written by Paul to a certain type of people.
And that's probably
people.
True.
So some of them thought were
probably
authentic.
I don't have information on that, but that's probably true. I mean, I'm not a Bible scholar. So,
we're probably going to hear from all those Bible scholars out there decrepit we are in our Bible history.
So the other question, does this Gospel of Judas reveal something new about early Christianity? Yes, the Gospel of Judas really has been a surprise in many ways. For one thing, there's no other text that suggests that Judas Iscariot was an intimate, trusted disciple, one to whom Jesus revealed the secrets of the kingdom, and that conversely, the other disciples were misunderstanding what he meant by the Gospel. So that's quite startling. And then the question was, it's shocking to suggest that Judas wasn't just one of the disciples, but was actually the favorite disciple of Jesus? She answered, that's right. And also the idea that he handed over Jesus to be arrested at the orders of Jesus himself. This wasn't a betrayal at all. In fact, it was the obedience of a command or request that Jesus had made.
That anyway, is very interesting.
It goes on and on and on. But it's very interesting.
And so when did National Geographic just bought it?
Well, all this article says is that they acquired it.
Wow.
So,
I bet
how the mechanics of how that worked, I don't know.
I bet it'll be in one of their issues.
Yeah, I bet it will be.
Yeah.
I bet there'll be a whole big thing about it.
Oh, there'll probably be some documentaries. Yeah,
probably be. It's really interesting that they keep on finding new things and that it's a really living study, And in fact, one of the things I read someplace, maybe it was in the same article, that at the end of the day, we still don't really know, although we'd like to. Some people will like to think they do. We don't really know that much about the life of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that some things kind of still come up, and there's a lot of scholars.
Well, the whole controversy recently about finding his tomb, his family tomb.
Right.
Him, his wife, his baby. I mean, it's like, everybody's up in arms. I mean, is
but
like
again,
James
if
Cameron
he was
just
married,
doing a Hollywood version of
if
it.
If he was married,
he
what does it really have to do with
the son? I know. Well, what's
how does
the
how does that how does that change
well,
anything?
Well, that does change a lot because that means that there wasn't a resurrection. That's the little flaw with finding his body,
yeah.
and finding his wife and his son.
Right, because the big thing is that he and his body resurrected.
Right.
But so what if it wasn't with his body? I mean, again, how does that really change the message and the religion?
Oh, let's hope there's no Bible scholars out there because I have a feeling they'll have a few things to say to you.
Well, it doesn't really change the message.
No, it doesn't change
all.
The message to love your neighbor and to be a good person.
Right.
And no, it doesn't change that.
So.
But it does change the way to heaven, supposedly. So that's why everybody's up in arms about that.
Well, so. I don't know if it changes the way of heaven, but we won't argue about that here.
No.
Okay.
No.
So that was the Bible report.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there you go. Thanks for that history lesson.
You bet.
So, old Wolfowitz, we mentioned him briefly. A little scandal this week, you know?
He was so sorry. I feel bad for him because he was sorry. He said he told people he was sorry.
Did he? I didn't hear his apology.
Yes, he did. So we should forgive him, just like, Don Imus said he was sorry.
Well, everybody's accepted his apology. So, so for people who don't know what we're talking about, the World Bank president, Paul Wolfowitz, he was the architect of the Iraq War.
He was
Donald Rumsfeld's undersecretary for years in the Defense Department, and he stepped down in 2005 to take over the helm of the World Bank, which was very controversial because it was really an unpopular choice with the development experts who make up the bank's professional staff. So
Yeah.
He ended up apparently dictating that his lover, a woman, should be getting a well-paid job transfer. She was his subordinate and his romantic partner. And she got a 31% pay hike over 2 years. And
good work if you can get it.
She makes $193,000 tax-free dollars.
Tax-free?
Tax-free, which is more than Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of State.
Yeah, so I heard that.
That is unbelievable. And apparently he dictated the terms of her employment in a memorandum to the bank's vice president of human resources without consulting the bank ethic committee or general counsel. That's what he was apologizing for, a mistake in his handling of his girlfriend's employment. So, everybody's calling for his resignation, and the people who genuinely dislike him say that he no longer has the ability to judge the integrity of loan recipients. The crusader for good governance must fall on his own sword. And
wow.
One of the executive directors of the bank. To some extent, he's the victim of his own agenda. So between him and then, what do you think is going to happen with old Antonio Gonzalez this week? He goes before Congress on Tuesday.
You know, I've heard a little bit of analysis on that, and I mean, obviously, I don't think he should be the head of that organization anymore. I think he's shown a very, very,
first he was hands off,
obvious lack
of
judgment.
You're absolutely awful if you're hands off.
Yeah.
And then he, all of a sudden he's hands on, and he said, "Oh, I knew everything they were doing,
yeah.
and I directed my deputy to do it."
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that there's been discrepancies
right.
in how I've been perceived or something, nonsense.
So I have to admit, I'm a little surprised that he hadn't resigned before he's going to testify, and I'm kind of glad he's going to testify.
And I'm glad that Don Imus' thing is over this week, so we can actually get back to focusing on him next week.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how long it'll be till
Imus is hired someplace again. Imus is going to get a cable show, don't you think? I think he's going to.
If he's got an audience, the guy is old. So he's 67. He could retire. I mean, I'm sure he's a multimillionaire.
Right. And he actually does a lot for charity. And
yeah,
a lot of
I know.
Did you hear all the politicians that have been on his show?
Oh, yeah.
Like 50 from every party.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody supported him.
Yeah.
Up until
bunch of hypocrites.
And then all of a sudden, nobody cared that he was a shock jock.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is it a freedom of speech?
And in fact, I saw something. I think I wrote him down, but I don't want to hunt it down right now. All these other quotes that he said over the last 15, 20 years of his career. I mean, I'm not saying the quote was good that he had, the nappy-headed host thing, but... come on.
There's been worse, and nobody said anything because
hypocrisy.
He was a shock jock, and this was his genre was. But... because the time is right now for us to say, oh, we're not going to take this anymore, this is not politically correct, he's out after the advertisers, supposedly spoke.
Yeah.
But is this a free speech issue? Some people say no, and some people say yes. Why is a white man not allowed to
make
this comment?
It's on the line.
Why are rappers allowed to make even worse comments? They say ho, they say bitch, they say the N-word. They say it all the time in rap lyrics, and yet...
It muddies the water about what's acceptable or not. And the whole thing about the advertisers pulling out, again, it just smacks of hypocrisy. The advertisers knew exactly what they were getting with Don Imus. And you know what? After this thing blows over... people would still be listening. Advertisers would still be making their money advertising with them.
Right.
It's just it's a knit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this.
I think it was just the time everything came together.
Yes.
And
perfect storm, if you will.
Had they not been the NCAA runners up.
Right.
Jeez. But, I'm glad they've accepted his apology and the healing has begun. And we're all having dialogue about it.
Yes.
I love that. Oh, we're talking about the problem.
And Jack Canfield is coming up with chicken soup for the Imus. Chicken soup for the...
chicken soup for the Rutgers
basketball team.
And women everywhere who were offended at his comment about women.
Right,
too. Because it wasn't just about blacks. It was also an offense to all women.
That's right.
So,
although it's not really clear... the offense was just that all women are hoes. I mean, it's not really, it's hard to take it too seriously, you know?
All women with a certain hairstyle.
Yeah. Well, here's some fun things I pulled out.
Okay.
Since we're taking it up a notch. These are things, I don't know, I don't even know where I got this list. I printed it out because I thought the things were kind of fun. It's like a list of 10 things that it takes a while, some maturity to get to learn about life.
Okay.
But I crossed out a bunch of them because they were just stupid. So
I'm only going to say the good ones.
Don't buy chicken soup for the soul, versions
right,
1
right, exactly.
130.
Exactly.
If you can't figure it out after version 1, stop.
They're in no particular order, but the badness of a movie is directly proportional to the number of helicopters in it. Probably true.
Or the number of animals wearing sunglasses on the cover. David Spade did that this week. It was really funny.
That's funny.
If there's an animal wearing sunglasses, it's a
probably
awful
not
movie.
A good movie. Probably a good sign to stay away. Now watch, the next critically acclaimed movie will be Animals with Sunshades. The new animated feature from Pixar. You will never find anybody who can give you a clear and compelling reason about why we observe daylight savings time.
Oh, it saves jobs. It brings parents closer to their children.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada.
You should never say anything to a woman that even remotely suggests you think she may be pregnant unless you can actually see a baby emerging from her at that moment. I think that's probably true. Didn't know you were pregnant. Oh, awkward pause.
I didn't either.
There comes a time, this is so true, Gretchen, this next one. There comes a time when you should stop expecting other people to make a big deal about your birthday. That age, 11.
I know.
You know, I constantly get, I mean, not among my immediate group of friends, but some of these tangential friends is like, oh, I'm having a birthday party. I want everybody to come. Big, you know, it's like a big deal, big deal, big deal. And it's like,
hey, didn't you just ask me when my birthday was?
Yes, I did. I did. Yes, I did.
So you're not going to make any big deal about it.
A big surprise birthday party for you. People who want to share their religious views with you almost never want you to share yours with them.
That's true.
And I think that is really,
really
true. We're sharing. No, we're not.
I'm listening, and you're talking.
You should not confuse your career with your life.
Sometimes they get mixed up.
Yeah,
certain
temporarily
times in your life, they get mixed
you should
up.
Keep a... Yeah.
But...
This one I totally agree with. A person who is nice to you but rude to a waiter or janitor is not a nice person.
I
totally am down on that. Down with that.
That's true. That's why you go to a restaurant on a date.
I know.
You can see men if you're nice. And if you also have table manners, it's very important.
Exactly. Well, actually, I don't know if I do too well on the table manners thing. No matter what happens, somebody will find a way to take it too seriously. That's true, too. Anyway, that's the 10 things. I think I whittled it down to
like
6.
Yeah, I think you've named 6 of them.
Yeah. That's all, folks.
Until number 53, Jeff.
Number 53. So phone in with your favorite football players with the number 53. So we can use that next year.
What's the number? Has it changed again?
Oh, no. I called it today to kind of re-enlist. The number is 206-337-1670. That number, one more time. 206-337-1670. Give us a call. Just say hi.
Except Bible scholars.
Yeah.
We don't need to hear from you.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time.
Alrighty. Bye.
Bye.